Today, turn with me to Philippians, the third chapter, and we'll be reading out of the 12th to the 16th verse in just a moment. I'm glad again that you're in the house of the Lord today. You made a decision to be here. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. Today is here. You need to live every day as if it were your last day, making every day count. Then you will have no regrets. We live our life with regrets, I think, and we live in the past a lot. Kids can go to children's church if that's they don't want to hear me preach. Yeah, they're leaving. The older ones would like to go. I believe, however, we're at another place of decision about our ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. Every year we begin this, and we have to make decisions, each and every one of us. Will you choose to remain faithful and constant, or will we once again live an uncommitted life to God and His institution called the church? Will you decide the cost of commitment and loyalty is much too much to pay? Or will you once again put on your track shoes and run the race with patient endurance? 2017, with its hopes, its dreams, its successes, its failures, it's over. 2018 is here. I want to encourage you today to press on. Press on. That's what I want to title this today is Press On. It's time to press on. Philippians, the third chapter, 12 through 16, and I'm going to read it out of the NIV. It says this, "Not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The Amplified says it like this, "Not that I have attained this idea or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of or grasp and make my own that which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me His own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward." We haven't got there yet. We're Christians. We've been born again. We're saved. But we haven't reached our final goal yet. In the process of heading towards our final goal, we have to press on. We have to make up our minds that we're going to live for God regardless of, can I say it this way, hell or high water. Regardless of what comes our direction. Regardless of the successes we may have in 2018 or the failures that we may have in 2018. Regardless of the things that may seem to easily beset us this year and set us back. We have to continue to press on. If nothing else, take one step forward and two back, but keep taking that one step forward for Jesus Christ and don't let anything sway you from that one aspiration. Heaven is our goal. Verse 12, he says this, "Not that I have already attained or either am already perfect." He says, we are involved in struggles in this life. It's a life of a fallen world, and we are subject to sin. We have not attained yet that place of the inadequacy to sin. We're still in our human bodies, still struggling with flesh. Our spirit man is as saved as he can get, but our flesh man fights it tooth and toenail sometimes. We have to beat ourselves and bring our bodies into subjection to the will of God. We have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ, fighting a fight of faith to the bitter end, which it turns not just to a bitter end, but to a good end, because we win the race. And so we are involved in struggles. The full glory of our salvation and our and the resurrection is in the future. I'm not in heaven yet. I've not attained yet what I'm working for. I'm pressing on in the battlefield. I'm headed towards heaven today. That's my ultimate goal. I'm straining towards that. I fight the fight of faith because my resurrection is in the future. So we press on to make it on, just our own, just like Jesus pressed on to make it his own. When he was in this body, he had one aspiration. That was to go to the cross and finish the course and win our salvation. He could have deviated from that if he had gave in to the flesh, because the Bible teaches us that he was subject to like passions, to everything we are subject to, Jesus was subject to. Yet he did not sin. He had opportunity that you had opportunity to sin. He had women that he could have did things he shouldn't have done with, because he was the Messiah. He was this important person, and he rubbed shoulders with all kinds. He could have done any of it, but he had an aspiration and a goal, and that was to do what his Father had sent him to do, and that was his one thing that he would attain. He knew that our salvation weighed in the balance, and he wasn't going to give up on us. Aren't you glad for that? So we have to balance our faith and our works together as we go through this journey. We have not reached our goal of Christlikeness or holiness yet. We are to be holy. The Bible says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." But to be totally holy, we're not in our flesh totally holy. I mean, just come on, just think about it for a moment. You get angry when you drive down the road. Or am I the only one? I meet a lot of people I call idiots in my lifetime. They can't all be idiots. And then my wife will say, "How come you cut that car off? I bet they're calling you an idiot about right now." "Well, I didn't see them." Well, that's the same thing when they do you that way. They didn't see you. And I say, "Okay, Jesus, get off my back." Or, "Who made you, Jesus?" I don't say that. We all have this flesh that we're dealing with, every single one of us. So although our spirit is made holy, our flesh is still in a race, in a battle. We're still pressing on. We're still having to subject ourselves to the will of God and to beat ourselves back sometimes, to bring our body into subjection. And that's something we should have a goal of, bring our body into subjection, to live a Christ-like life. So we continue to pursue it, Christ-likeness, godliness, righteousness, and all those things daily. We pursue that. And when we fall short, we repent of it. Does it mean you're getting saved again? You just repent of your shortcomings. You repent when you make a mistake. You repent. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to stay right with God. And the only way I can do that is to live a repentant life. I'm not getting saved over and over and over and over again. I'm living a repentant life. When I make a mistake, I repent of it. Now, I'm not going out here trying to find things to repent of, or do things I have to repent of. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit works in us to prevent that. But in our flesh, we still sometimes make mistakes. So understand that. So we continue to pursue it. That is the goal of every true believer in Jesus Christ, to be like him. Romans 8:29 says this, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." many brethren. So God's ultimate goal in making us His children is to save us forever and to conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus being the firstborn, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, to save us forever. God has set His love on us, and He has established a relationship with us. Aren't you glad He has a relationship with you? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Okay, you say you do, but do you pray? And when you pray, do you just give Him a laundry list of all your needs and wants? Or do you listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you? Do you get to a place you pray in your prayer language so everything about you is cast aside and everything that you might dream up is put aside and you've submitted to the Spirit of God so that He can pray the perfect will of God over you? Do you get to that place where you have a prayer life in the Spirit? If you haven't, you're missing out. I would suggest to you, it's nothing wrong to approach the throne of God, the throne of grace boldly and bring in, make your request known to God. There's nothing wrong with that, and God expects that, and God wants that. But first and foremost, God wants a relationship with you. He really does. And so He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He set His love upon us and established a relationship with us. He did this so that we might grow in grace into His likeness. He wants us to grow. If you're still where you were at 10 years ago and you've been saved 10 years and you're still right where you were at 10 years ago, there's a problem. Somebody needs to take your milk away from you. Somebody needs to take that passy out of your mouth. You need to grow up. Somebody needs to fix you asparagus and steak and make you eat it. Come on, get some meat of the Word in you. Grow up in Jesus Christ. Goodness gracious, we have people that are still where they were 20 years ago. Haven't grown at all. We need to grow up in Jesus. We should, so that we can be conformed to the image of His Son. God purposed from eternity to love and redeem the human race through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that today? He purposed from eternity that He would save us. That was His goal, is for all men to be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't come to condemn the world. God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. God sent Jesus to love the world and save the world. Not all the world's going to be saved, but that was His goal. That's still His goal today. He wants you to be saved. All men would be saved. So He wants us to do that. But because of this, the church will attain glorification one day if we press on. We haven't been glorified yet. We've been set apart, but we haven't been glorified. You don't get glorified till you get to heaven. And one day we'll reach that place if we remain faithful. So let me move on. So until then, we're going to fall short if we fail to maintain faith in Jesus Christ. There's an old song that I thought of as I was trying to get this sermon prepared. And actually, I prepared this sermon, and then this morning I re-prepared it. Had it gone, had it ready for a couple weeks, and then this morning I had to change a few things. Just the way things happen sometimes, I changed a few things. I didn't take away, I added two, by the way. Oh, somebody's already groaning in his heart. Oh, Lord, how long is this going to take? As long as it takes. But there's an old song that I thought of when I was preaching, preparing this, and it goes like this. It's to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. That's all I ask, is to be like Him. All through life's journey from earth to heaven, that's all I ask, is to be like Him. We used to sing that and mean it. I mean, we'd raise our hands and we'd sway with the music, and oh, to be like Jesus. And we meant it, and I still mean it. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be as close to Him. There's an old Henson song that, Lord, if I ask You for money, you'd be showering down more in my share. And if I ask You to make the midnight sunny, I'd be hiding my eyes from the glare. Lord, I don't need just another good blessing. I forget exactly how, but what I really want to be is so much like You that the world can't tell us apart. You know, I know You can do all these things, but I want to be like You. I want to be so much like You that people can't tell me from You. That should be our ultimate goal. Now, I haven't attained that, by the way, folks. I know some of you may think I have, but I haven't. I take from that nervous laugh that I was wrong about that assumption, huh? Anyway, And I'm not perfect, neither are you. We're not like Christ, but we're working that direction. I want to be like Him. I want to be as much like Him as I possibly can. 1 John 3:2 says this, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We're not there yet. We're not home yet. But we're going to be. We're not like Him, totally like Him yet, but we're going to be. We are conformed into the image of His Son so that one day we will be totally like Him in our glorified bodies, in that glorified state, in that place called heaven. The life we are now living is all for a reason. It's not for nothing. It's for a reason. One day this life will be over, and we'll be like Jesus in our glorified, sanctified bodies. We are in a race to the finish line. You don't want to quit yet. You've been in it. How many's been in it a year? 2 years. No, somebody, how many has been at 10 years? Been living for God for 10 years or more, and 20 years, 30. I mean, some have been living for God almost all of our lives, and there's no place to quit. So we've been conformed into the image of Christ, and we've been made like Him, but we haven't attained yet what we've been trying to attain. So we're in a race. So there's the past things this year, this morning that we want to talk about, not really talk about them, but the past. It says in verse 13, "I count not one thing to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind," or the past. I need to forget about those things which are behind. I need to forget about my past sins. Stop letting the Satan bring them up and present them to you and drag you down by them and condemn you in them. They have been forgiven. They are under the blood. Leave it there. 2017, you may have sinned a gross sin, and you got forgiveness for that. Leave it there. That's the past. You're under the blood. Move forward from it. It's repented of. It's done with. Move on. Forget your past sufferings. 2017 may have been one of the worst years of your life that you can remember. You may have went through some of the roughest times. You may have suffered some things that you just almost beyond your comprehension. But according to Philippians 3, chapter verse 8, it says, "Doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them as dung or rubbish, that I may win Christ." So leave that thing in 2017. It's rubbish anyway. Quit holding on. Quit dwelling on it. Forget the past sufferings. 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. And I'm not going to read them. Paul rehearses some of the many things he had suffered for Christ. He wasn't boasting about them, but he was saying, "I've went through this stuff. I've experienced this suffering. I know what it's like to suffer for Jesus Christ." But these things in Acts 20, chapter 20, verse 34, he says, "None of these things move me." You read what he went through in chapter in 2 Corinthians, you'll understand why he could say that. None of this moves me. I'm in a race. I'm pressing on. I'm going towards the mark. I'm going to win the race. There's a crown prepared for me, and I'm going towards it. See, Paul saw himself as a runner, and he described it in Hebrews 12:1. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Patience there would mean endurance. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We are in a race for our lives, church. We're in 2018. We're so much nearer to the coming of the Lord, it's not even funny. He could come right now before I even finish speaking today, and that would be okay. One of us might die before we get home to this afternoon. And if you're a Christian, we would mourn for you, but it'd be okay. Because your race would be finished. It would be over. You would have attained what you've been pressing towards. But this race is a lifelong test of faith in this world. You're going to have it until Jesus comes. There's a test of your faith. There's a trying of your faith. It must be run with patience, perseverance, and endurance. I know you get weary in well-doing sometime, but the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So sometimes you may have to sit there. You may, it's a marathon, and you may be at the 22 mile mark, and there's somebody there with some water and maybe a little protein bar and a little bit of the Word of God and a little bit of a water of the, you know, the living water, and take it. Sup on it, drink it, and you'll make it to the end. Be energized in Jesus Christ as you run this race, as you run this race of faith. And be patient, be perseverance, persevere and endure. And the way of victory is pressing on to the victory, the finish line. Every race I ever run, if I didn't get to the finish line, I had no hope of winning. A few times I quit because there's so many of them ahead of me, I knew I had no hope of winning. I got angry back in 1960. I don't know what it was, 63 or 64. And that's a long time ago. No wonder I can't remember it. And, there was this guy, and he was about 2 years older than me, and he was still in the seventh grade and sixth grade. He was in the sixth grade. We was in the sixth grade. He's supposed to be in the eighth or ninth grade. And here he was, and we got involved in track at Prig in the mid high or whatever they called it back then. And we got to go to a track meet, and I ran the same race that he did, and he got chosen to run it. And that rascal pulled up in the middle of it, and he was one of the fastest guys out there. And boy, it made me so angry, they didn't let me try. I just got to go and stand on the sidelines. It was cold that day. Back then, you didn't have all the stuff you got today. Yeah, I won't go into detail, but it was cold that day, but he quit. And that aggravated me. You think Jesus and all the witnesses in heaven, if they do look down here and watch us, if they see somebody quit, you don't think that might aggravate them a little bit? Don't you think that kind of puts them off a little bit when you quit in the middle of the race? Don't quit. Keep running. If you've got a limp to the end, limp to the end. If you fall, somebody's going to pick you up and carry you. And Jesus is going to be there for you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. Don't quit. The way of victory is pressing on to the finish line. To be victorious in this race, we have to lay aside every sin that impedes us or slows us down. Every weight that would slow us down. Lay it aside. Some things aren't sin, but they're weight. Lay it aside. Why can't we do that sometime? Oh, I don't want to give that up. I don't want to put that aside. That's too important to me. Sort of like a cheeseburger to our pastor friend at Sharon Baptist. That was important to him until he realized it was killing him. Now he laid it aside and he's not going to pick it up because it was impeding his progress, his physical progress. We got to lay it aside. We fix our eyes and our lives and our hearts on Jesus. See, Jesus is our example of trust in God. Jesus is our example of trust in God's will, our example of prayer, our example of overcoming temptation and suffering, our example of loyalty to the Christian faith, our example of joy in completing the work He has called us to do. Jesus is our source of strength, our source of love, our source of grace, our source of help, our source of mercy. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Don't tell me you can't do it. Don't tell me you can't finish the race. You've got Jesus on your side. So, well, I need more than Jesus. He's in heaven. Well, He sent you the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He put you in a church to receive instruction in godliness and holiness. Instruction in how to live for Him. People around you to comfort you and help you. Encourage you. Don't tell me you can't do it. You can do it. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We got to forget those things that are behind as we begin this new year. The old way of life, the old sin, the disappointments, the failures, the heartaches, the stumbles, the falls, as well as the victories and the times of triumph. That was then. This is now. We're moving forward. We cannot live in the past regardless of how good or how bad it was. Press on. Press on. If you don't, you'll waller in self-pity. Or you begin to lift up in pride over the accomplishments you made last year, and you'll fail to do anything for God this year because you're living in the past. I've thought a lot about what to do with our church, and I haven't come to a conclusion yet of what the best avenue is. I'm always concerned about the church. You understand that? I'm concerned about church growth and spiritual growth and monetary growth, all these things. I have to think about that. I pray about it all the time. God, what's your will for our church? What direction do we go? Do we change something? Do we not change something? Do we tweak some things here? Or do we not? What do we do, Lord? But I don't want to just continue on like last year if that's not what God wants. Do you? I want what God wants. Then there's provision that God made. Whereas in the past, now there's provision. Verse 13 says, I reach forth to those things which are before me. I reach forth. See, the promises of God are what we look forward to. And God does not and cannot lie. If it's in His Word, He's going to perform it. If He says He'll do it, He'll do it. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. He has said it, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? If God says He'll do it, He'll do it. If God says He'll bring you through, He'll bring you through. If God says He'll bless you if you do this, He'll bless you. That's God. He's going to do what He said. We can stand on His promises as we face the new year, and He'll meet your need. He'll meet your need. Whatever it is, 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 He'll meet your need. Come on, think about it. Whatever it is, He'll meet your need. He's God. It's in His Word. He'll do it. He'll perform it. Has He not said it? He'll do it. Philippians 4:19 is another promise from the New Testament. Paul wrote this, and my God shall supply all of my need according to all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The plan of God is to seek His will and do it, and that's the most important thing, and you need the peace of God to do that. Sometimes it's hard to trust God without peace. If you don't have peace, it's hard to trust Him. But, Philippians, I don't have it there, but Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Philippians, there it is, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there's provision. I'm struggling. There's provision. God will guard your heart. God will keep you. He'll keep you in perfect peace if you'll keep your mind on Him. He'll meet your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He doesn't lie. He's not a son of man that He should lie. He said it. He'll do it. He's spoken it. He'll make it good. God will do it. You're in a race. You're running for Jesus. He'll take care of you. He'll supply your need. He'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. He'll open doors that have been shut to you. He'll close doors that need to be shut so you won't make a mistake walking through them. God's God, and He's going to take care of His people. I believe that. I've walked in it too long. I've seen His blessing and His glory too many times. I'm walking in His blessing today. Have been for several years. God blesses those who will press on. And then that last verse in verse 14, I press toward the mark or the goal for the prize or the reward of the high calling, the upward invitation of God in Jesus Christ. As we run the race, we must approach it with desire, dedication, determination. See, Paul saw himself as a runner in a race, and he was exerting all of his strength and pressing on with intense concentration in order not to fall short of the goal that Christ had set in his life. We've got to do the same thing. Well, preacher, I don't know what goal he set in my life. Well, you know he set a goal of you to reach heaven. Okay, you know that. You accept that. But he may also have something for you to do while you're here. Something more than just attend church a few times a week. He may have a ministry for you to fulfill, just a little job in the church for you to do. He certainly wants you to witness. He wants you to tell somebody about Jesus. He wants you to let your light shine. He wants you to glorify Him everywhere you go. He wants you to fulfill that little song, to be like Jesus. He wants you to be like Him. So you have some goals. You have some marks or some places to reach this year. Some aspirations to live better, to live a more godly life. You can do it, church. You can do it. God, Christ desired that Paul be one with Him, that he achieved his final salvation, his resurrection from the dead. Okay, He wants us to be one with Him this year. To be like Jesus. Ultimately, we're going to go to heaven. We're going to achieve our final salvation. Aren't you almost envious or envious of those who've already went on? I know you miss them, but you can be envious of them. They finished their course. They received their reward. They're already there. And you're not supposed to be envious, but can't you just almost be envious of them? To think, why'd He choose them earlier than He did you? But then on the other side of that coin, say, Lord, I don't want to go today. Right? We all want to live as long as we can. Live as fulfilling a life as we can. Accomplish all we can. But sometimes don't you just get long for heaven? Ready to go? Go see those loved ones that went on before. Go be in the presence of Jesus. Know that the race is over and you won't have to struggle anymore. Sometimes it looks pretty good, doesn't it? We've got to press on. And someday we'll get to heaven. 2 Timothy 4:8. Paul said this. Let me turn over there and read the whole text. 2 Timothy 4:8. And since I don't have it marked, it'll take me forever to find it. It's back that other direction. Told you. And then I get nervous like y'all do because I'm trying to find something in a hurry. Do y'all get nervous when you're trying to find something in a hurry and people are out in the pews looking at you? Oh, you wouldn't know about that, would you, because you've never had to do that. 2 Timothy 4:8. And I'm going to start at 6. This is one of the last things Paul said. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, yeah, I lost my place, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. So there's a goal in this race. There's a finish line. It's called heaven. There's a place we're going to attain this crown one day. Paul approached this race. He ran this race, and we must approach it like him and run it with desire, dedication, and determination. Desire, dedication, and determination. We're going to run this race. Paul saw him in this race, and he run it with all his heart. With all that was within him, with all of his strength, with a pressing, intense concentration in order to not fall short. Don't you think he was lonely sometimes? Don't you think he was, when he was suffering, that he wondered where God was at in all of this? When you're shipwrecked, you're stoned, you're beaten, you're put in prison. Don't you think he wondered where God was at? But he did his best to keep a positive attitude. And he never wrote a letter grumbling. He always wrote it and exalted Christ, lifted up the church, encouraged the church to remain faithful in spite of the storms. He did that. He exerted all of his strength. He pressed on. Christ desired that Paul be one with him, that he would achieve his final salvation and his resurrection from the dead. He wants us to be one with him. One of these days, we're going to die or we're going to be resurrected. We're going to die and go be with Jesus, or we're going to be resurrected into rapture. One of these days. God wants you to achieve your ultimate final salvation. How many here don't want to go to heaven? I almost got you. You almost raised it, didn't you? I want to go to heaven, don't you? It's going to be a great, glorious place. So, yeah, I don't know about streets of gold and walls of jasper and, you know, gates of pearl and all that stuff. I'm not into that stuff. I'm not either into jewelry and all that stuff. I could care less, but I know this. The Bible says the Son of God's going to be the light of that city, and I want to go see Jesus. I don't care about the walls of, you know, streets of gold and all that stuff. I don't care if God's what he's, I just want to be there. It's going to be a great place, and I might change my mind next week and tell you next week, I want to go walk on the streets of gold. Isn't that something? We worry about all these things, and God paves his streets with gold. You walk on streets of gold. That's how much the kind of God we serve. The God, what kind of resources our God has. And he wants you ultimately to make it to heaven. And so God's, Paul's motive of Paul's life that drove his passion for Christ was that he was ultimately going to heaven. He knew it was worth it all. He knew serving Christ was worth it all. Church, it's worth it. So you begin this year, make up your mind, you're going to serve God this year. You're not going to waver. You're not going to give up. You're not even going to think about giving up. You're going to live for God. This crown of righteousness, the Bible says there's a crown of righteousness. It's awaiting all of us. Everyone that remains faithful. All those who possess an intense longing for the return of Jesus to take them from earth to heaven to be with him forever, there's a crown of righteousness awaiting you. And then in one passage of Scripture says we're going to throw it at his feet. Here, I don't need that. Here, Jesus, take it back. I'm just glad I'm here. I'm just glad I can worship you. I'm glad I'm up here and I can lift my hands without wrath or doubting. I'm glad I made it. So all we're going to do is worship. Well, there's going to be a lot of worship going on. You're not going to care. It's going to be a great time to live. And I'll tell you what a distinctive mark of a Christian is. They don't feel at home in this world. If you're a real Christian today, you feel like a stranger and a pilgrim, a sojourner. In this world, you feel like you're just passing through and you really can't get your roots down good. You're really not satisfied with what this world has to offer because your citizenship is in heaven. And that's your goal. I'm here for a short period of time. My goal is to go to my real home, and that home is in heaven. That's my real goal today. I have a lot to live for. You have a lot to live for. You have built your life. You put your roots down in this world and in this life. And you have your jobs and you have your family. But ultimately, our goal should be to go to heaven. And to be his ambassadors while we're here. We must have a determination to live our lives for Jesus Christ. And we must press on. We must press on. There's going to be all kinds of distractions. There's going to be all kinds of temptations. There's going to be the everyday cares of life. We're going to have our concern for our family. We're going to have to provide for our families and do all these things that we do. And there's going to be evil desires and many other things to distract you, but we've got to keep our hearts and our minds focused. And that's on Jesus. Press on. We've not finished this race yet, but we're almost done. We'll soon be done. press on this year. There's a lot of ways the enemy of your soul will choke out your commitment to the Lord. Don't let him choke it out. Don't let him present you with opportunities to do things that would choke out your commitment to the Lord. Be committed to not only to the Lord, but be committed to your church this year. Instead of saying, I don't want to, say, what can I do? What can I do for the Lord this year? We must forget those things, though, that are behind. We must press on, reaching forth to those things which are before, to our complete and final salvation. We got work to do till we get there, but we've got to press on. Keep pressing on. As you press on, you're going to need desire to do better and better, dedication, putting Christ first in your life, and determination to live an overcoming life. You can't do it without that. You can't do it without desire, dedication, and determination. You'll never make it. You've got to make up your mind. You can't do anything about last year, but you can press on this year and make it happy and successful if you just will. Press on. Your citizenship is in heaven. Your real homeland's not here. You're no longer citizens of this world. You have become strangers and pilgrims. You are in a race. Press on to the finish line. Win the fight of faith this year. Amen. Amen. Somebody else say amen. Praise the Lord. I'm determined. Amen. I'm determined. We've got some people.